This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, February 11, 2024, Quinquagesima Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
St. Paul speaks of being imitators of him because he is an imitator of Christ. He is saying something that appeals to our nature as human beings. When I mean our nature, I'm not talking about a spiritual. I'm talking about the way we are made ontologically. And that is, we are hybrids. Animals, they don't have souls and spirits as we do. They don't have free will. They don't have cognition when it comes to making decisions, reason. They just live. They do what they do to survive. Angels are pure spirit beings. They are ontologically like God. We are nothing like that. We're in the middle. We are hybrids, so to speak. Literally, we are hybrids. We are flesh and we are spirit. There's a constant struggle between the two. But we have to understand that when St. Paul speaks in other places about the struggle between the old man and the new man, the flesh and the spirit, he never once says that the spirit is going to destroy the old man. As long as we are taking in air in this world, we are going to be struggling with our flesh, because it's a part of our being. When St. Paul writes that he does the things he doesn't want to do and doesn't do the things he knows he should do, a wretched man that I am, who's going to save me from this body of death? He realized he's not beating himself up. He just realized that this struggle between the spirit and the flesh is something that's ongoing. So knowing this, he throws out things every now and then to make us appreciate what our nature is, and to use it for the better. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Imitation. Animals do it. I'm an animal guy. Hang around here more in a couple weeks. I use animal illustrations. Cop and animals. About the two things you get around here. Animals. You look at lion cubs, for instance, any cub. Look, it's so cute. They're like little kittens. Look at them playing, pouncing on one another and jumping around. They are doing that. But what they're doing first and foremost is imitating their parents and the way they hunt. They're sneaking, if you look at them, the cute little thing, they kind of sneak up on their brothers and sisters and jump on them and stuff like that. Because they learn. They learn that, things just don't sit there and let you jump on them. They run away. You got to adjust to them. So they're not just imitating for the sake of imitation. They are imitating because they are learning something. When St. Paul talks about imitating him as he imitates our Lord Jesus Christ, we have to understand this is what he's talking about. Don't just walk around saying what Jesus said, words you read from Scripture, or around telling stories about Jesus. Act like Jesus. Imitate him in the way you live your life every day, not for an hour on Sunday, okay? Every day. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And that's how Paul was. Imitation. It is necessary for us. And we ought to make it necessary for good reason. So, we're humans. We're not animals. That actually makes our imitation worse. Because when animals imitate things, they're actually doing something for their own benefit. We're human beings. We imitate things that we ought not. I always get a kick out of it when you say you have a family member, hypothetically, that starts dressing this way and wearing this and doing this and whatever, and you're close enough to them, go, what the heck's going on? What's up with this, that, and the other thing? I'm showing my individuality. No, you're not. You are absolutely not showing your individuality. What are you doing? You're trying to associate yourself with a particular group. You're imitating what the members of that group do. That's our nature. That's what we do. We're like little chameleons. You know, they run around and change colors on stuff. We're like that. We hang around the people. You start acting like them. Talk. Got to be careful with that stuff. Every now and then, we'll go to lunch with some old friends from my old life. I got to watch out. I sit at the table for like 5 minutes, and they're talking like this and talking like that. And all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, and we can't say that. Yeah. Why? Because we can't help it. We start to just react to things that are around us. We need to react for good things. We need to imitate good things, not things, you know, particularly I want to show that I'm in the cahoots with the nonconformists. We need to conform to our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get transformed? You imitate. Imitate other people that are better at it than you are. It's a good thing to imitate. It really does. Just like I gave a negative thing. I'll use myself an example. I wear a cassock all the time. Not just around here. It's not an incarnation fashion statement. That's what priests wear. You know, they've always worn that. And I go to other parishes and I've got the eye rolls. And I actually had one come up to me one time. I don't really get what you're trying to communicate with that whole thing. Oh, was that like a rhetorical question? Because it's very obvious what I'm trying to communicate. I'm trying to associate myself with priests that have historically always worn cassocks. So that's what I'm trying to communicate. I know you're not that dull. Why? I self-consciously want to do that. I want to be associated. I want when people walk into this parish, you go, hey, wearing a cassock. Whoa, that's different. Yeah. You know, well, really, it's not different. It's different that you don't, but that's a different subject for a different day. Imitation is a good thing. I usually quote like popes and saints and encyclicals and stuff. Charles Colton. Who? What the heck? I'm glad you don't really know him. The guy was a Protestant minister and he wound up being a suicide, so he's actually just a worldling. But at the end of the day, he does have a quote that most people have heard before. Don't know his name, but you know his quote. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. Okay? Most people have heard that quote. And it is indeed. You come in here wearing something one day, you know, and then over next week, half the people in here are wearing the same thing. You kind of feel good about that, don't you? Hey, look at that. I'm a trendsetter. You know, I'm going to do this. It's okay. You know, if it's in the context of wholesomeness, you know, if people imitate you, that's a good thing. It really is. So it is the highest form of flattery. But then there's another one that took the ball and ran with it. George Bernard Shaw, most people know him. He's a worldling also. But he said, imitation is not just the sincerest form of flattery. It's the sincerest form of learning. So even the world understands that imitation is a source of learning. This is why St. Paul uses that word and talks about us imitating him because he imitated Jesus Christ. You know, notice he doesn't say, be imitators of Jesus. It should be all about Jesus, all about Jesus. We should be saints and stuff like that. Why would he say, imitate me? Well, Paul is in no way, shape, or form claiming to be the example of all the holy virtues. He is the man that wrote the quote that I said before. I don't do the things I know I should do. I do the things I know I shouldn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. It's not him being self-deprecating. He just knew the reality of his existence. I'm working on it. You know, that was his whole thing. I'm working on it. And he wants us to do the same thing. That's why. Be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. He's not claiming again to be the paragon of all virtues, but he wants to point us to, he's trying his best to imitate Christ, who is the exemplar of all virtues. We need to be imitating Christ. We need to be living like he did, living a life of not talking about commandments and talking about precepts, but actually applying them to our lives, imitating him. And well, why does Paul say, imitate me? Because he's writing to the Corinthians. And unlike Paul, who met our Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, the Corinthians had never seen Jesus. How can I imitate somebody I've never seen before? Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. So this is where St. Paul's going on this whole thing, because he wants them to understand that if they imitate him, they are imitating Jesus. And when they imitate him, the conduit for the gospel is going to be open. Because at the end all be all, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about gospel. We're talking about witnessing to people. We're talking about being able to share with them. This is why St. Paul says, be without offense to the Jews and the Gentiles and to the church of God, as I also in all things please all men, not seeking that which is profitable to myself, but to many, that they may be saved. The salvation of many is more important than the rights of the individual. The salvation of many. This is why, because imitation, what are you doing? You are not acting like yourself. You're acting like someone else. And in this case, it should be acting like Jesus Christ. I'll point fingers at myself. You don't want to be around me when I'm acting like myself. I want to act like Jesus. It's a struggle with me constantly. But at the end of the day, that's the struggle. We need to be imitators of him because we want to keep the conduit open for people. And people are much more attracted to the way Jesus was than the way I am. So I got to try my best to imitate him. So they're paying more attention to that than they are to me. This is what St. Paul's talking about. Just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean you necessarily should. You know, this is what I said before. You know, the salvation of many is more important than our individual rights. You like to have a couple glasses of wine after dinner. That is a good thing. The scripture actually say that's a good thing. Our Lord gave us wine to gladden the hearts of men. Notice it just doesn't say he gave us wine because it tastes real good. Yeah, it does taste real good. You drink a couple glasses, kind of relax. Your heart gets kind of glad. That's a good thing. It is your right to be able to share in the blessings that God has provided. If you go to somebody's house and they are a struggling, recovering alcoholic, don't be waltzing in there with your bottle of wine, showing everybody how much you got a right to gladden your heart. You're sinning. Well, you just said it's not a sin to drink wine. Drinking the wine isn't the sin. It's being a stumbling block to someone else. It's putting them in danger of falling back into their old sins because you're exercising your rights. That's not what we're about. We're about selflessness. Well, I should say Jesus was about selflessness. That selflessness is the opposite of selfishness. Self-giving. Jesus Christ was the second person of the divine Trinity that reigned in heaven for all eternity, and he gave that up and came down here. That's a downstep. That's a renunciation par excellence. Jesus is all about self-renunciation. We must place our own interests second. And you're really placing your own interest second when you start imitating somebody else. Jesus. This is what we're called to do. It's not a suggestion from that. Hey, if you want to, you should imitate me like I imitate Jesus. No. It's an imperative. Hey, imitate Jesus. It's a statement. Imitate Jesus. An admonition. So, you know, this whole imitation thing. St. Paul, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever else you do, do all to the glory of God. So he says imitate, and it's not, again, like I said before, not on Sundays for an hour. It's all the time. When he says, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory. He's not talking about some holy way of eating or holy. He's talking about in the most basic, mundane things in life, in the most ordinary circumstances, you should do it to the glory of God. You know, particularly in this country, we eat probably more than we really ought to. And he said, every time you eat, every time you get something to drink, no matter what it is, give glory to God. Yeah, that's why we say grace and things like that. Because we want to show our appreciation to God. Did not our Lord Jesus Christ take bread, break, give thanks to the Father? Okay, and we're going to, well, I don't say grace because it's embarrassing if I cross myself in front of my non-Catholic friend. Problem, we're supposed to be imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ because it shows a reality of our faith. Not just words, but walking the walk. This is what we're called to do. This is being an imitator. Everything we do must be done to the glory of God. Everything we do must tend to this, no matter what it may be, and even if it puts you out, even if you have to change things. I like hanging out with these people. They're pretty nice. They may be, in a worldly sense, they might not be good for you, and it might give you a bad reputation hanging out with other people like that. So you don't do it, no matter how much you want to, because to hang out with them would not tend to the glory of God, and avoiding them would tend to the glory of God. So again, no matter what we're doing, the most ordinary of things, we need to do it to where we self-consciously think, is what I am doing, is how I am talking, is what I am wearing, is it bringing glory to God? Everything. It's difficult, but if you imitate somebody for a while, and we don't have any problem imitating people that we probably ought not, talking like they talk, telling the jokes that they tell, and things like that. You know, we got no problem doing that, but when we talk to Jesus, all of a sudden it's a big problem to be imitating Jesus. This isn't the way it should be. When we imitate Christ, when we imitate St. Paul, Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, you know, we've been preparing for 3 weeks for Lent. That's what Lent is. I mean, you've heard it a few times, at least over the past few weeks. Lent is a time when we actually imitate physically what our Lord did for us. The 40 days of fasting in the desert, the 40-ish days of Lent, that's what we're doing. We are imitating Him. It should be up in our faces. It shouldn't be something on the side. Now, our Lord said, when you fast, not if you fast, when you fast, don't look all, oh, it's Lent. And I go, oh my gosh, when I lived in Afghanistan during Ramadan, oh my gosh, you couldn't get anything done. Hey, I need this done around the embassy. Oh, sir, I can't, it's Ramadan, I'm fasting, I'm so weak. No, we don't do that. We do fast, but we don't play it up. But like if you go to a restaurant, and we go, hey, there's a special today on the triple bacon burger with cheese. Isn't that awesome? Yes, it is. I'll have a side salad. What's wrong with you, man? It's Lent. Well, what is that all about? Boy, tell me that's not an open door to share. Yeah, Jesus fasted 40 days without eating or drinking. For me, I think I could get a side salad instead of eating the burger one day. That's the reality of this whole thing. This is our Lenten fast. You know, and it's truly unfortunate that it's just gone away. Footnote on the table out there, fasting rules, the 1962 fasting rules and the new ones. I, because the church says one thing, cannot stand here and blind you to something else. But I would highly suggest, for your spiritual benefit, to bind yourself to the 1962 rules. I would highly suggest that it will be to your benefit. It will make it real, unlike the new ones. I'm just saying. So, you know, take this seriously. Oh, Lent's just a time for prayer. In the book of Tobit, the angel Raphael, who probably knows because he's like stands before God, prayer is good when it is accompanied by fasting and almsgiving and righteousness. Are you saying prayer is not good at other times? No one would ever say that. Prayer is always good, but obviously it's much better when it's accompanied by fasting, almsgiving, and righteousness. This is the reality of what we're taught in Scripture, and we don't do it anymore. And it's real obvious that we don't do it anymore. That's why I said, do the old ones. Try to be trendy. Maybe someone will imitate you. Because this, you know, I've been talking about imitation because people see this and they see that. It's also for us. It is also for the benefit of our spirituality. You know, there are people in this parish, and I mean this with all sincerity, there are people in this parish who humble me by the way they pray. There is a couple people that walk around here with their watches set on, oh, it's time for my chaplet. Oh, it's time for the Angelus. Yeah, I say the Angelus three times a day, around 6 in the morning and around noontime and around 6 in the, you know, these people say it right then. And that's better than what I do. It's better. I should imitate them. I don't. I should. It would be better for my spirituality if I did. It would show more of a discipline. And I got all kinds of excuses why I don't, but it would. Imitation's good for us, spiritually. A couple weeks ago, we had St. Anthony's feast, St. Anthony the Desert Father. I mean, this dude goes out and lives in the desert for literally 100 years. 100 years. He didn't just stay in his hole and pray for 100 years. He was constantly going around to other people who were out there praying, and he would hang out with them for a while, and he would take away a little bit of something from some of them. He'd hang around with them. He'd take away a little bit of something. And over the years and the decades, he's taken away a little bit of this and a little bit of that. By the time he was getting ready to depart this world, the man's still alive. And when people would utter his name, demons would flee from the possessed. Demons would flee from the name of a guy who was still alive because he was so holy. And why was he so holy? Because he took a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of that from different people, and he started doing it. That should be your Catholic life. Imitators of St. Paul, who imitates Jesus, the communion of the saints and all that kind of, you know, that's good. There are some people in this parish who, like, were in the presence of John Paul II. I see the pictures of that. I was like, ooh, that's pretty cool. You know, you were like with the saint. You know, that's neat. So, but it doesn't have to be a person who is canonized. Like I said, there are a lot of people around here who are an example for me. You know, and I try my best to take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, read this, read that. Yeah, I do, because I learn from those people. If you take a little bit, you're going to be more holy. So this isn't just about other people. This is about you. So be imitators of Christ, as St. Paul was, and all the community of the saints. Because at the end of the day, you know, the imitation is of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, it's selflessness, it's self-renunciation. There has never been an act of self-renunciation on the face of this planet as the God-man who left heaven, came down here, and then endured that for the salvation of others. It gained him nothing. And he did that for us. And all he's asking for, you know, an occasional liturgical period where you just kind of be self-conscious about your selflessness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.